Welcome to the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting of January 16th. Secretary, can you please take the roll?
Director Peterson?
Here.
Director Darcy? Director Gonzalez?
Here.
Chair Wolf?
Here.
Chair Danforth?
Do we need a motion sometimes to follow to on yourself?
David, do we need a...
No, we haven't typically.
Okay.
I don't need to vote as long as you've got the two for the quorum.
Okay. Sounds good. Any public comment? Remember, this was brought to my attention, so we have no public comment today. We, on the agenda, did have approval of the minutes of the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting held on December 13th, but apparently they were not made available to us yet, so the next meeting will have those for approval. Executive Director?
Thank you. Good morning. I'm pleased to provide you with an overview of our plans, or I should say Paul will be pleased to provide you with an overview of our plans to improve our roadway maintenance facilities. As you recall, or may recall, many of our roadway maintenance facilities are the same age as some of our oldest highways that we are responsible for, and they are at the point where they need to be rehabilitated, rebuilt, reconstructed, and generally kept up to date. So we have, under the Move Illinois program, you know, taking care of the existing system, you know, includes 11 maintenance facilities system-wide that are, you know, important to that work, important to our everyday work. And Paul is going to walk through our plan to take care of these facilities and also kind of what our contracting plan is. We see this as a prime opportunity for unbundling. Because it is, you know, can be individual projects that are off the system, so they give an opportunity for smaller and mid-sized firms to do some work for us that's not in a high-speed, high-traffic environment, which we think could be very helpful. So these facilities do house all the people, equipment, materials needed to keep our system operational 24/7. This is where our snow operations are out of and other, you know, maintenance activities over the summer. So we're very committed to not only upgrading them, but upgrading them in the greenest way possible. We committed that Move Illinois will be the greenest program in our agency's history, and we're really looking to also make these facilities LEED certified buildings, which is not only important for sustainability purposes, but obviously gives us some operational and cost-saving benefits as well. So Paul is here to share the details. I've probably stolen half of his presentation.
I will struggle to come up with facts that you have not mentioned. But thank you, Christy, and as the executive director said, you know, I'm very grateful that we're getting into this part of the Move Illinois program, and I'm going to give you a brief overview of what is included in this aspect. We have 11 existing maintenance facilities, and they're distributed throughout the whole tollway system, 286 miles. Seven of these sites were built 54 years ago. Two of the sites along I-88, 38 years ago, and only two of the 11 have been recently constructed and built, and that is, one was 20 years ago and the other one was 18. I'm calling that recent, 20 years ago. So all these facilities are in need of some work. We do have 402 tollway personnel working out of these facilities, and that's roughly breaks down as like 316 equipment operator and laborers, 41 mechanics, 22 clerks, and 23 managers and supervisors. There's a lot of equipment, important equipment also, that's housed at these facilities. 350 pieces of equipment, that includes mowers and message signs and other construction type equipment. And we have a fleet of vehicles that are working out of these facilities, 359 vehicles, which includes 197 plow trucks, 13 help trucks. The main thing to get across here is that these facilities are critical to the tollways operations, and they're key to protecting our investment, our biggest investment. We're putting a lot of money into our toll road and its operation, and we really need to take care of the people and the facilities that are taking care of that investment for us. So as I mentioned, they're spread out throughout the whole tollway system. This slide shows you nine of the facilities that we are going to be reconstructing or rehabbing under the Move Illinois program. The general construction schedule is going to be from late 2013 through the whole program, 2026. This work is going to help us optimize the efficiency of these maintenance operations and help meet the expanded needs of the system. We all know, and we recall from our presentations, even on the Move Illinois program, how dramatically the tollway system has changed since, you know, 1958 until now. I mean, we've had huge expansions. We've added new portions to it, and we really haven't done a full upgrade or evaluation of these maintenance facilities to meet those new demands. So we're going to have a lot of opportunities here in this part of our program, and these opportunities hopefully are going to help us give us the potential to reduce some of the annual repair costs that we're currently incurring just keeping these facilities going for us. So as part of making the Move Illinois program also the cleanest and greenest in history, we have plans to develop these maintenance facilities to meet the leading standards, or actually to meet these LEED certifications, and LEED stands for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design. We know it makes sense. It's going to help reduce our bottom line overall by making these facilities more efficient and more green. So we are focused on that. The other aspect is we don't do a lot of vertical construction, and by vertical I mean building type construction. So we have a lot of interest from contractors who don't do a lot of work for the tollway because we primarily do roads and bridges. We have a lot of interest from a whole new sector of the construction community that would like to get involved in tollway work, and they're looking for work right now. So this slide gives you an overview of all of them, and it's a small scale, and I'll go through it. The ones that we're going to reconstruct, there's five that we're going to completely rebuild. There's M1, that's LSIP on the South Tri-State. There's M3, that's the Park Ridge facility. It's right by the Tui Toll Plaza. There's M5 out in Schaumburg. It's located in a very tough environmental condition. It's right within the interchange there between 290 and 90. There's M7 in Rockford. That's up north of the Cherry Valley Interchange, and M6 in Marengo. That's along I-90. There's two of the facilities that we plan to hopefully relocate, and that's the M4 one up in Gurnee. That's a Lake County maintenance facility, and the M8 facility in Naperville. We do want to also rehabilitate two of the less old facilities. And those are the ones along I-88 in DeKalb and also in Dixon.
So, Paul, what's the reason for relocation?
The reason for relocation is, I think there's multiple reasons. One is we want the facility, in the instance of the M8 facility. Since the tollway began in 1958, we added 355. 355 had an impact on the service areas of our facilities. So we built, you know, M14 right at the intersection of 88 and 355. So now M8 is actually located at the end of its service area. And that's not optimal for operations. So we'd like to move it further west so that it was more like in the middle of its service area. Each one of these maintenance facilities are roughly serving about 35-40 miles of our system. So we see the potential for a big operational benefit by being able to shift the M8 one. M4 also, I anticipate that's going to be impacted by potentially in the future by the 53-120 project. So we will look for a site that, you know, will help us, you know, better serve, you know, the future of the tollway's needs in that area too.
I think the other thing, candidly, my understanding on the Naperville side is also that, you know, certainly operationally it's beneficial to us, but also that community, that's kind of prime development area for them, and you know, they'll be happy also to see that move. So it's a win-win, really.
Yes, and since there is such an interest in development, you know, the tollway can also recoup some of its money and put it towards building the new one. So. And I'm sure the same condition exists up at M4. It's just that a maintenance facility is not a facility that, you know, you have a bunch of local communities begging you to locate in their area. So it does add a little bit of art to, you know, where you're going to locate this facility and how you're going to match it into its environment so that, you know, it will be, you know, not an eyesore to the local community and still allow us to serve our operational needs in that area. And that's really what I'm getting into now is we want to bring somebody on board who's going to really help us spearhead that effort and get the ball rolling on this part of our program. And the first step is to bring on some consultant help to get this going for us. And we did advertise for this consultant in our last bulletin, and we are beginning negotiations. And once we complete those negotiations, we will be bringing that to the board for your approval. But what this initial consultant is going to do, the primary consultant we're calling it, is they're going to help us make sure that we're going to be consistent and efficient throughout the system. So they're going to begin the prototype design for this building. So we want all these buildings to be similar so that, you know we're going to get the same level of service out of them. And then also our staff is familiar with these facilities, and they'll be able to be, if they're working out of a different facility, they understand exactly how it's working and we don't lose any efficiency.
Question for you, do we consider design build for these? And then secondly, the consultant we're going to hire will be an architect. Are you going to then unbundle, are you going to have a different MEP, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, fire protection, structural, civil for each of these different facilities?
The way that the first consultant, you're correct, they are going to there is going to be an architectural component to it. So yes, they will have to meet the needs in that area. Our idea is to at least get this primary consultant on board, the quarterback, to come up and just help us coordinate with all the internal users to figure out, you know, how this prototype building design should look. And actually, we're going to have two sizes, you know, one larger facility and one slightly smaller to match the needs of the system, because we have rural and urban facilities. So the key thing is to bring on this first consultant, and then we are going to have individual, our plan, it's on the next slide, our plan is to create all these other additional contracts on both the engineering professional service side and on the construction side. Currently, right now, though, I need to tell you, the TOA does not have, or we do not have the authority to do design build yet. So we're not planning on developing these facilities with a design build contract.
You said we don't have the authority, is that bestowed upon us by
it's not legal in the state of Illinois
to do design build?
Yeah,
yes.
The statute would have to be changed.
But you do see that the way that we're structuring this is going to create multiple opportunities on both the professional service side and on the construction side. So we will bring on some additional designers, at least four of them, to do the actual site work, figure out how the utilities are going to be feeding into that site, and then also determine they're going to have to take this prototype design and actually put it down on the property itself and make sure that it fits into the access points and the operational conditions.
So, I'm sorry. On this point about the consultant, and you've probably already thought about this, I hope that we will be thinking about the design here the same way we think about the designs for our bridges and other things, that we want to have excellence, that we want to end up with a lot of awards. I mean, I think it'd be easy to build kind of mundane buildings here, but they're going to be in these communities for a long time, and I think we ought to suggest to the people who are working on this that we should really be thinking outside of the box a little bit, beyond the lead question. As I say, you probably already thought about this.
And the way we advertised for that service did list some of those items, and that's what we are looking for.
Good.
In this. And we know that there have been dramatic advancements in the development of maintenance facilities, you know, over the last 50 years. And I've seen them, some of the newer type facilities. I know there's one in my town, Naperville. And you see how it fits better into the local environment, and it looks cleaner on the site. A lot of things are stored properly. And that's really what we're hoping to achieve. And our designer is well aware that that's our goal.
So we'll specifically, though, task them with design awards being one of their
aesthetic, not only practical, but also aesthetic.
Right.
So There will be 8 construction management contracts minimum generated by this. We'll have a different CM probably at every site. We might have one CM do both of the rehabs along ID8, but each one of the reconstructs will have, you know, one CM. We know we're going to have at least one construction contract per site, and since these sites include a lot of different elements of work, there will be the potential to break it down even further into 21 additional construction contracts, because we know they're going to have to do a parking lot, we know there's going to be a salt dome, we know there may be a small storage building, we know there's a fuel site at each one of these, so there's going to be the potential for additional smaller type contracts within that site, and we are focused on doing that too, especially you know, considering our initiative to try to unbundle contracts and give smaller contractors more opportunities to do our work.
Will soft loans all be standard, or will you basically try to expand upon what you have already and throughout the system? I think the storage, I know some, with the 2 mild winter so far, I know we're having a hard time, or we're basically, storage of salt is becoming maybe an issue on site. Is that under consideration?
Right now for the tollway, we have the ability to store all of our salt under a roof, which is a good thing. So we obviously have our facility sized correctly. I'm really looking forward to having this, you know, this design quarterback come on board so that we can ask them some of these questions and see what's out there, and can we do it better, and can we arrange it better, and can we make it, you know, more operationally efficient. We're having good success, I believe, with the way we've developed our salt domes right now, but I'm not going to tell you that, you know, they're the best thing that's out there. So you'll see this next slide is a very loose commitment to the schedule for each one of these. Because I do need to tell you, when we're talking about doing these relocates and reconstructs, it's going to take a little effort to make sure we get the right site. And then also, Joanne, my property manager, she will be tasked with getting the property. That process, she keeps reminding me, works best if I give her 18 months to do it. So that is going to be a challenge. And also, the sites where we're going to be rebuilding on the existing site is going to also be a tremendous challenge, because the road operates 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, so I cannot afford to just completely shut down the operations while we're rebuilding things. So there's going to be a lot of coordination and decisions being made, and that's why I'm excited to really get this consultant on board who's going to help us do some of that higher level type analysis, and then get this going so that we can get these jobs out on the street.
Will the managers at these different sites get a chance to have input with this consultant to say what their needs are? Will they interview and go on site and talk to these people?
Absolutely.
Okay, very good.
I think the other thing just on this list, to clarify something, we have construction of an Elgin O'Hare site here, but our goal is actually to combine a facility, so we're not adding a brand new facility. You know, it should be, and on the previous slide it did say, you know, reconstruction or I think combining, or construction or combining, but we, just so that's clear on this, that it is our intention to see if we can combine something so that we can, you know, not add another facility, but, you know, have something that services, you know, different parts of our system with one facility.
Yeah, absolutely. If that can work for us, we are definitely going to take advantage of that, and it would be much more cost effective for the tollway to do that.
Has anybody else done any other tollway system done this kind of sort of all system maintenance upgrade, do you know?
I can't answer that for
I'm
sure, but
I'm just curious if there are lessons learned from, I mean, the kind of practical lessons you're thinking about, but also if there are always things that if you had known them when you started, you probably would have done differently. Probably not something you talk about at your meetings, but how are my maintenance facility?
We can certainly ask the question. I mean, we belong to enough groups and associations that we could do some surveying.
Yeah,
if they've done a general one like this, certainly I'm sure they've done individual ones.
The geographical location of maintenance garages is something that you will commonly find throughout other toll agencies. And others have had problems where they've ended up because of availability of property, putting a facility at the end of a segment of road, and their desire is to put it back in the geographical center. Since we've experienced growth, the geographical center has changed. We've added more lanes, we've added more challenges, and that's why we want to relocate M8. We actually knew that when we built originally 355, but it's taken us this long to get to the point to where we have the means to really look at relocating M8 and putting it further west in the Aurora area. That will greatly enhance operations. It gives us an opportunity to rebuild, and as was pointed out, we occupy a large portion of property, sufficient quantity of property that there has commercial value at the main entrance to Naperville. So there's an opportunity there to sell it. And
but I think the question in the discussion is that we need to go out and ask other facilities, particularly the older ones, right? The brand new ones maybe have also learned some things. But for those that are replacing or upgrading, we can certainly reach out through our different, you know, associations and membership organizations and see, kind of canvas to see what lessons have been learned.
And I assume that's in the scope. I know that when we advertised for the service and we got the respondents on our bulletin, they all demonstrated to us their experience with doing other facilities of similar types. So we will be definitely trying to take advantage of lessons learned elsewhere, but I'm not aware of any other toll agency who's upgraded, you know, had a big program where they went out and upgraded all their facilities, although I'm sure they're getting to that point because, like us, you know, a lot of these things started when the interstate system started in the 50s, and they're coming to the point now where they're beyond their useful life.
Thanks, Paul.
Is there anything else you'd like us to look at with these? I think we've gotten some good feedback, but as we move ahead, I would say on the construction side, we'll certainly be looking to meet that unbundling threshold. So I would say 9 contracts might even be high, to be candid, you know, when we start looking at budgets, because we want to be in underneath those thresholds that we've talked to the board about previously. So, but if there's anything else, I mean, I think we have a real opportunity here, because it is a little bit of, you know, it's different type of work than the tollway is used to. I shouldn't say used to perform, but different type of work than we've done under previous programs.
No, the unbundling is, that's good. It's, you know, accomplishes what we have been talking about for a while.
Right.
I think it's good, too, that the managers are going to have input with the consultant once the consultant's on board, because they know, because they're there every day, and they know some of the pros and cons of what has worked in the past and what hasn't worked, and taking into consideration the location of these facilities throughout the system now and reevaluating where the growth has been. And I think it's on the right path.
Good. Yeah.
Finance. I'm sorry, Christy, anything else?
Nothing from me.
Finance has 2 items, renewal of a contract with Camden Cochran and a renewal of a contract with Minnesota Life Insurance. Mike, do you want to review that for us?
Good morning. First item is renewal of a contract with Camden Cochran Management Services, Inc. for workers' compensation claims administration for a year, for a 1-year period beginning May 1. And ending April 30th of 2014 in the amount of $76,950. These services were awarded to CCMSI pursuant to an RFP that was conducted in 2009. That RFP provided for an initial term of 3 years and 2 optional 1-year renewals. This would be the second and final of those optional renewals. This workers' compensation program at the tollway is a self-funded program and has been since 1988. The claims administrator is responsible for processing claims for our employees for injuries and diseases that are covered by the Illinois Workers' Compensation Act. The administrator processes medical claims, temporary disability payments, and settlements. In addition, the vendor maintains a computer record for all the tollway claims, and tollway personnel have access to this program to maintain and understand the status of all claims. Tollway employee benefits, legal, and finance work with the vendor in the evaluation and the processing of the claims. The annual fee is unchanged from the last renewal. It's actually slightly lower than the initial fee, It's the same as the last renewal at $76,950. It is subject to a maximum claim count of 225. If there are more than 225 claims, the additional fee would be $425 for a lost time claim and $75 for a medical-only claim.
How many more did we have over 225 this last year?
The last time that we actually exceeded 225, I believe, was in the year 2000-2001 claim year. The last 2 years, we've had around 180, so we have been under that cap. But we haven't had to pay the additional fee.
Okay. What's the average cost per claim? Did you have that?
Average cost per claim. I have the total number of claims is typically between 180 and 210.
Okay.
And the total paid amounts have ranged anywhere from about 2.3 million in the 2011-2012 claim year.
But this isn't per claim.
No, I don't have the per claim. I'm just trying to
give
you
a sense for it. Just want to make sure. That's pretty high number.
Total amount has been from 2.3 up to...
Okay, total.
Yeah, sorry. 6.5 million.
Becoming concerned. Having trouble breathing.
Should we be going out soon on this? Two things. One, Canada Classroom Management, is staff happy with them as a claims administrator? Have they done a good job? And secondly, it probably sounds like we should begin the process of going out again on this for a new claims administrator.
Yes,
service.
In fact, shortly, okay. We'll be starting that process.
Is there a way of actually doing a cost-benefit analysis on this? How much of what a claims manager does can actually affect the outcomes? My recollection is that a lot of this is just a grid. That you lose a this and you lose a hand and it's this much. Is there a cost saving in the way you process it?
I think the management of the medical claims is important in terms of getting people in quickly and timely with respect to getting the appropriate medical treatment quickly. CCMSI also has medical discount arrangements with different medical providers, which we pay for as a pass-through them, but allows us to access some lower medical fees as a portion of that network. I also think and David maybe can speak better to this than I, but there's work with the legal team with respect to the severity of the injury, so forth, and the negotiation of the claim that they would have input into as well.
Mike's comments are right on the money in our view. The working relationship with CCMSI since my joining has been excellent, and I've been quizzing our outside counsel who have a lot of engagement with them, in fact, just as recently as last week, and they're very pleased with CCMSI's performance. They consider them to be sort of a top-notch firm in the industry, but I thought Director Peterson's comment was well taken, that at some point you do go back out. Benchmarking from a who's doing it better really requires a look back for a period of years. So that's
the big analysis
we take, and we'll
go back down. Will we go through a broker on that, or we go direct on that?
This is just directly with
the CCA. The CPA, okay.
Correct. So finance would recommend approval for the side of the on the board's consent agenda.
Okay. Any other questions regarding that renewal? No. Okay. Life, Minnesota Life?
Second item is renewal of a contract with Minnesota Life Insurance for a life insurance benefit program for our employees for a period of 1 year, again beginning May 1 and ending April 30th of 2014. Similar to the workers' compensation program, there was an RFP issued in 2009, provided for an initial term of 3 years with two optional 1 year renewals, and this would be the second or the final of those two renewals, and we would also be seeking to issue an RFP for those services shortly as well. The RFP in 2009, there were seven proposals that we received. The evaluation team recommended as the best proposal Minnesota Life Insurance, Securian Financial Group. They have a A-plus AM Best and Company financial strength rating, which is a strong strong rating. They offered the renewal proposal that they have offered actually is a reduction in the premium by about 15% based upon the good experience that we've had in the last couple of years. The rate, basic life rates, will be reduced, I think, from 24 cents per $1,000 of coverage per month to 21 cents per $1,000 of coverage per month.
Mike, can our broker bring us other proposals on this life?
This is proposed this directly with them as well.
But it doesn't preclude the broker from shopping. I mean, we can't do any worse than this number. I guess the question is, did our broker go and shop this?
We don't have a broker for this.
On this one, we don't.
Yeah, the others have.
Because we could just shop. Would have been good to shop this. But I think we.
Well, I think we have an RF. This is again the second of the two renewals available. So we'll have to go out for an RFP process. Would you like us to think differently about? You know, is there? Have we found in the past that a broker relationship is helpful here, or do we save money going direct?
We've gone both ways over the years, whether we've had a broker. The last time we had MetLife and we had a broker involved in it. The one thing we've always done, though, with brokers in all of our insurance, if we have an insurance that we purchase, and it's with certain insurance carriers, if we have a renewal, we tell the broker he has to, because our primary contract is with the insurance carrier, not with the broker. So we say, okay, broker, you can go back and get the best rate from that insurance carrier. You can't go out and, get other bids from other carriers, because then you're getting into the brokers doing the normal RFP process, and that's not fair to the other providers. And so that's usually how we do our renewals.
Okay, so we didn't go other than this carrier. We didn't go to any other carriers and ask for pricing.
For this year? No.
No, we went through an RFP process. We went through an RFP process to procure this provider originally.
Right.
So we would solicit.
Which was a 3-year contract, and then this is the second of the renewals.
Yeah. So this will be another one where we'll be going out with an RFP. I guess the question is this something that we, is there a broker relationship that we think would be helpful here, or do we think it's better just to go directly with have the company submit their bids? Is there a way for us to achieve, knowing how long RFPs take and that we are bound to use them, is there some better way for us to test the market more regularly, to get competition annually?
That's what I'd like to hear, if we can do something like that in the road.
Jump in here, but I'll start and then you can correct me. Part of the issue in life insurance is I don't think you want to have a situation where the insurer doesn't believe they're going to have multiple years to provide coverage because of the risk associated with any one year. So you do want to provide a little bit longer period of time with respect to experience so that they're not exposed to a particularly bad year. And that's part of the reason we start with an initial term of 3 years and provide two optional one-year renewals.
Okay.
And that's how we do it in all the insurance. When we got those 7 proposals back in 2009, some of them were through brokers and some of them were not. Some insurance carriers will deal with you directly because they've got a staff that can deal with you directly. Some life insurance carriers do not have an internal sales staff, so they can deal directly through brokers. Okay. So it's a mixed bag out there in how they provide the products.
Okay, thank you.
And when we put this out, this 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 responses that we got back, was there a real differential in terms of the cost? Do you remember? It was a long time ago. Is this real? I guess what I'm asking is this
it is competitive, and there was a few that were really high, and then there was a few. One of the things we have going for us is Minnesota Life also has state coverage, and so we sort of get to remind them that they have the state, and so we ask for them the best rate possible. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we've gone out, and the incumbent will not even give us a quote because they lost so much money on us. So it's a real mixed bag out there on life. Because we've only got 1,400 employees, so our monthly premium is like $33,000. Annually, that's not that much money. We're not that big of a player for that. They're looking for people who give them $1 million a year to really get their attention.
Okay. They also do provide optional insurance program for our employees. Employees seek supplemental coverage to the basic term life that they receive.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike.
Sure.
Any other questions? Any objections to taking both of these items for approval together? But our motion to approve under finance items 1 and 2, renewal contract with Cannon Cochran and renewal contract with Minnesota Life Insurance. Motion to approve.
So moved.
I second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Procurement has numerous items, 5 items.
All right, good morning, directors. Okay, so as you said, director, we have 5 items for your consideration this morning. The first item is an amendment to a resolution that the board approved at last month's meeting for 76 pursuit vehicles. CMS informed the tollway that the price of each vehicle had been increased by $500 due to the manufacturer adding additional standard equipment to the 2013 model. The current master contract allows an economic adjustment to the price if the dealer's cost increases due to a manufacturer's change. And since this is a manufacturer's change, its increase would have occurred no matter what Chevy dealer had been on the contract. The base price was increased by $500 per vehicle. So the upper limit of this purchase will be revised by a total amount of $38,000 from $2,021,407 to $2,059,407. Second item is an order against the CMS master contract to purchase Oracle software licensing, maintenance, and support. This purchase ensures the tollway continuous availability of core business systems that support our toll collection and violation recovery revenue, as well as our website for IPAS account management. It also provides access to critical updates and patches. Award is recommended to Mythics Incorporated in a total amount not to exceed $1,475,380.11. Third item is an award of a tollway invitation for bid to purchase safe repair and maintenance services. This contract provides source for time and materials as well as inspections and preventive maintenance on a biannual basis of tollway safes located throughout our system. Award is recommended to Anderson Lock Company in a total amount not to exceed $123,470. Fourth item is a contract renewal of a tollway request for proposal to purchase legislative liaison services. This contract provides tollway full-time presence in Springfield and ensures that we stay abreast of legislative matters that may impact the tollway. It's important to note that this renewal is for an 18-month term. We believe 18 months is in our best interest over a 12-month term, as we don't want this contract to expire when the General Assembly is in session. It'd make it, you know, a difficult transition for us. And the contract language does allow up to 36 months in total for renewals. Award is recommended to Cullen and Associates in a total amount not to exceed $120,000. And the fifth and final item is a tollway emergency to purchase lubricants, greases, and virgin oils that will be used for the proper maintenance of our fleet of vehicles. This emergency is necessary as a CMS master contract for these commodities expired without another source available. We did receive 5 quotes for our requirements, and this award is recommended to the lowest responsive bidder, Chemex Incorporated, in a total amount not to exceed $70,000.
So, I'm sorry, how long is this? 90 days?
Yes, it is 90 days. We believe there should be, you know, a new contract hopefully by that time, and we have a little buffer if it's a little bit delayed, but you know, we are working with CMS to make sure that they're going to issue the new solicitation for that.
We will be making a presentation to the full board next week on, again, an update on the procurement process, but also just alerting all of you to, you know, the issuance of emergency contracts and small purchase contracts, the, you know, the length of procurement and that process taking a longer time, whether it's a tollway-led process or a CMS-led process. It has meant that we have to do more of this type of purchasing, unfortunately, I guess. So.
And I guess the flip side of that is, if you know that the procurement is going to take longer, you have to start earlier, which means that the market is less sensitive in terms of the actual cost when you get to the time that you're going to do it.
there's that, and it's also that the time is unpredictable. So it's not as if we can consistently say, okay, it was a 3-month process, now it's a 5-month process or 6-month process. Sometimes it's 7 or 8 months. Sometimes, particularly when another agency is doing the consultation for us, they don't include our specifications. And also, is your point of the timing going out to the market, and I'm sure John Benda could spend 15 minutes explaining, or more, explaining how, you know, often the solicitations, when we, you know, for certain materials were going out at just the wrong time for the industry to even know what its pricing is for the following year. So maybe we're getting, you know, higher prices than we could or should. So it's we did want to make sure that you were aware of the problem and engage all of you in helping us come up with any solutions that you can think of to help us meet our needs as cost effectively as possible.
Yeah, but Paul, you're right, though, about the risk that vendors build into that cost, because a lot of times when they bid, usually the bid firm time is 90 days, and in many cases, probably a good majority of the time, you know, we go way past that 90 days, then we have to go back to the vendors and make sure that those prices are still going to be good for the contract term. And that's challenging, especially if the market changes during that period. So
I'm just trying to think if there's any way to have the procurement process that's taking so long, looking at whatever the quality of the firms or the something, so you can end up with a pool when you get all of those people approved, and then you actually ask them to give you the bid. But
yeah,
I mean, it has even more complications for us. But if you're, with that long a lead time, I don't know how you can expect people.
Well, that's why I think that some of these procurements that we are not getting as many bids as we would like, because you know, vendors, it takes a lot of risk for them to build the price.
Well, I think also there's, particularly when you're talking about master contracts, there are differences in kind of how quickly vendors are being paid too for the materials and things that they're receiving. You know, the tollway obviously is in a different financial position than, you know, some other state entities. So we, I think, have come up with some ideas that we want to at least keep you apprised of. But obviously, if any of you have creative solutions, I'm putting it in. Getting you thinking now, so that next week we can really try to brainstorm what we can do here.
On the legislative liaison services, there was only 2 proposals received.
Yes, there was. And the other.
How do we advertise for those services?
It was published on the procurement bulletin, so all the vendors in that industry that are registered with the state got an email notification. We also, the buyer, did several outreach to these firms. You know, I talked to a few agencies about this, and it seems like, you know, once they see a vendor with an entity like the tollway or another governmental entity, it seems like some of these other vendors don't even bid on it. And, it, you know, it's been challenging, I believe, to get more proposals on the service. And Cullen has done a good job for the tollway, too.
Well, I would say that one of the reasons also that we're looking at an 18-month renewal instead of 24 months is just the natural time that this contract comes up and expires. You'll see the start date is not in the middle of the legislative session, close to the middle of the legislative session. So, you know, I do think that by, you know, putting us in a position where we would start a new contract after that, you know, maybe we will have an opportunity for people to focus a little bit more on putting a proposal together, you know, instead of, you know, servicing their other clients or doing whatever, you know, these firms end up doing during the legislative session. So, you know, but we did reach out pretty broadly.
And what is, when I look at the budget, is the outside services for $150,000, is it all for legislative liaison, or is it other outside services that are budgeted? Because I see in 2013, the estimate is $60,000, because obviously it spans over 2 calendar years.
Right.
Years. Is there any more money left over for legislative liaison services? Because I would like to see either an African American or Hispanic contractor within this, if there's a possibility of hiring another in addition to Colin.
Well, there is a sub.
There is.
It's a Caucasian female. With the issues that we've been having at the tollway with trying to get more minority participation and maybe changing some of the stuff down that's happening in Springfield, I think it would benefit us if we could carve out a portion of this legislative liaison services specifically for a African American or Latino lobbyists. And I just would, I'd be asking right now, is, are there additional funds available in the current budget to allow for that?
If we, what?
Never hurts to have more than one legislative liaison.
I think we factored the annual current amount of $80,000 into that outside services amount. What I don't know is what else would be in that $150,000, whether or not
there are
it's
other
all
things
utilized,
though, because this was proposed to be $80,000. We can look at to see if there's another way for us to procure it. I mean, we do have a procurement process that we would have to go through, you know, and that process, you know, I don't know that, I don't know what exactly we are allowed to consider, but certainly, you know, we can take a look and see whether there's an opportunity. I would hope that this period of time, though, will allow us to maybe rethink our whole strategy around the legislative affairs for the next RFP, but we'll take a look and see about, you know, whether there's, you know, some additional services that we could get and get, you know, obviously through the procurement process for this session.
And I mean, like we've talked about before, that, you know, some of these contractors are not able to get the required bonding available for projects when it comes to doing any tollway work or even for IDOT. And maybe it's through the legislative process that we could get something done with those waivers. And I think it'd be more beneficial if we have an Hispanic or African American lobbyist down there on behalf of the tollway fighting for those issues down there, if it has to be a statute or some change down in Springfield for it to happen.
So maybe a broader team, whether it's this year or, and if we for some reason can't think about it for this year, but need to think about it in the context of this new RFP process, a broader team.
Yes.
Of folks. Okay.
Thank you.
And just to reassure you, Christy and I spent a lot of time talking about how to get a broader pool to bid on this. It was very frustrating. We obviously then, just to your point, the countervailing force on this is we don't want to be spending too much of the revenue that we have on lobbying, because that always draws attention, and so we just have to figure out how to strike the right balance.
We'll work with, but we'll continue to work with you on it. I mean, clearly it's you know, something that's important to us, our interaction with Springfield.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the procurement? All right, for being done, any objections taking items under procurement 1 through 5? No, do we hear a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second? I'll second it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full consent agenda. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Okay.
You two get tied. I'll be happy to nominate myself to the committee and tie.
All right. Engineering, Paul.
Thank you, Director. Engineering has 19 items, and I'm going to have to go through them very carefully with you, because some of the items I'm going to have to ask you to defer until next week's board meeting, because I'm not giving you enough information yet. Okay. And then a couple of the items are going to get pulled completely, and you may see them again in February, but not next week. So, but I will tell you as we come up to those items what the situation is. But the first three, I believe, are construction construction contract awards, and the first one is an award, construction contract award to replace our 30-year-old analog video infrastructure, and that's our communication between our 73 remote plazas and the central administration building here, and we want to upgrade it to a high-speed digital communications and digital security video storage system. That we know is going to help us improve the reliability of the system, reduce our annual maintenance cost, and they're going to also help us enhance some of our audit security efforts. In addition, they will be upgrading. One specific item I know they're going to add is a monitor that's going to show us, display some of the traffic conditions. We're going to install one in our lobby so our visitors who come in, they can see, you know, how the system's operating. We also have included in this maintenance and support services for 1 year. The successful little bidder on this contract was G4S Technology.
On the bids, I saw the one was like $800,000 off. The other one was incomplete.